Welcome back to the Wealth Studying Podcast. It's October 28th, 2014. This is episode 38. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. Thanks for joining us. The Wealth Studying Podcast is all about helping you build your freedom and liberty by building your wealth. Each episode, we focus on one or more of the 10 wealth-building principles, which can be found in the first 10 episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't already listened to them or you haven't listened to them in a while, go back and check them out. Remember, money may not buy happiness, but it can buy freedom. In this episode, we're going to talk about how the third quarter earnings are going so far. By the end of this week, about three quarters of all the companies on the S&P 500 will have reported. So we're getting a fairly good idea of how the numbers are going to come in. We'll also wrap up this podcast with a market review and talk a little bit about what effect these earnings seem to be having on the general stock market. Before we do get started, I do want to announce a couple things. One is the winner of our first contest. I'd like to thank everybody that participated. The answer to the question of which of the 10 wealth-building principles is the least downloaded was principle number 9, be a giver, and just about everybody got that answer correct. There was one or two others that it could have been iffy on, and a couple of you who selected that one. But for the most part, everybody was correct. However, in this contest, I said there could only be one winner, and so the random drawing of the people that got the question correct was Josh. I've already notified him, so he knows who he is, and we're preparing to do the call sometime when it's convenient for him. I want to thank everybody that participated. I had a reason for asking that question. We'll probably bring that up in a future podcast. So be prepared to listen to that and some of my thoughts on being a giver. Not only why that's probably the least downloaded podcast, but also the ramifications of that. And even some thoughts on how people may have come up with that answer. I like to draw parallels of how we make decisions and how we gauge probability on things. And I think we can even use that example of a simple way of how you collect and use data and how you might use that to pick a stock. But again, that'll be in a future episode. Now, it did appear that in this contest, everybody that entered was a male, and I'm doing that based on anybody that submitted the first name. They all appear to be masculine first names. So if I mistook someone's name or something, I apologize, but it did look like it was all guys. And that's fine. Did disappoint me a little bit, because I know from comments that I've received, feedback as well as some of the ratings and things, that there are definitely lady or female listeners. I'm not sure what the ratio is or how much of a minority the ladies may be in. But I would like to hear more from the women. Perhaps in the future, I'll have a ladies-only contest. Hopefully, I won't get sued for discrimination. But in the meantime, for the women listeners of the podcast, if you want to go over to wealthstudying.com and shoot me some comments or just some feedback, I'd really appreciate that. I'd like to know what's on your mind and how we can better address any questions or concerns you might have about stock trading, investing, or just overall wealth-building principles. As always, I want to remind you, whenever you send me a comment through the website, it's not required that you put in your email address. So feel free to make an anonymous comment. The only thing I'd caution you there is that if you don't include your email address, I won't be able to respond to you if you have a question or something. But feel free to make that anonymous. I would like to just hear what's on your mind, ladies. The other item that I did want to update you on was that I did give a talk or a presentation this past weekend at the Idaho Liberty Fest. I actually was going to record the presentation and play it as a podcast episode because I think it turned out really well. However, I had a technical difficulty. I'm embarrassed to admit, even though I practiced with my MP3 recorder, I must have got a little nervous or something because what I neglected to do was to activate the lock feature, which keeps the MP3 device from being turned off. And so even though I turned on the recorder, when I put it in my pocket, I must have hit it again and I shut it off or put it in pause. So unfortunately, I didn't get to record any of the presentation, but I think I've learned my lesson. I'll do a better job next time. In fact, in a week or so, I have another presentation. This is on a different topic that I'll be giving at Jack Spierko's homestead. This is for the people that are attending his fall workshop. And so I'll do my best to record that, and hopefully we'll get that as a podcast episode in the next couple weeks. Speaking of Jack Spierko, I was fortunate to meet a couple that are TSP listeners. When they saw my name listed in the program, they recognized me for my several appearances on the Survival Podcast and for me being a member of Jack's Expert Council. So they came up and introduced themselves, and I'll give a shout out to them, Kyle and Deborah. It was great to meet you. We got to spend a lot of time together. In fact, we got to have dinner together one evening. And I have to tell you, whenever I meet members of this audience or people of a similar mind group, it's always a pleasure. Deborah and Kyle are just really salt of the earth people. They're out there living the well-studying lifestyle. They've paid their dues at corporate America, and now they're out there trying to live their dreams, building small businesses, involved with homesteading and permaculture-type lifestyles. It's awesome to meet people like that, and I look forward to seeing them again and hopefully spending some time with them next time I'm up in the Idaho area. Well, let's get into the topic of today's episode, and that's what's going on with third quarter earnings. Well, I think the best thing that we can say to sum things up are, earnings are going pretty well, and that's to be as expected. You know, we are seeing a slowdown in China, we're seeing a slowdown in Europe. As I've mentioned in the past, there are problems all over the world, but for the most part, the Federal Reserve has done a good job of manipulating the currency and the interest rates and everything else so that the U.S. market is one of the top producers. And although there might be some storm clouds in the future, that's not reflected in these current third quarter earnings. You know, as we look back over the past 3 months, things have been pretty stable. I will add a caveat, though, that the earnings are really nothing to brag about. They are coming in fairly weak when you consider what the original estimates and projections were. If you go back earlier in the year, and certainly last year when they were projecting what would be happening, you know, 12 months out, they were looking at double-digit growth. A lot of forecasters were saying that we were going to be getting 10 and 11% earnings growth. Well, that's simply not the case. Most recently, they've gone back, as they always do, they've readjusted earning forecasts, what I like to call revisionist history, and so the current estimates for this quarter are earnings growth of somewhere around 4.5%. You know, by the end of this week, we're going to see about three quarters of the companies in the S&P 500 announce their earnings, and it definitely seems like we're on track to hit at least that 4.5%, and then don't be surprised if we actually see earnings exceed that, you know, somewhere in the 6% area. They could even pull a rabbit out of their hat and you know, hit 7% earnings growth. If they do that, everybody will forget that these earnings have been revised downward, you know, that they've in effect been dumbed down. And we'll hear about, you know, what a surprise it was, how earnings unexpectedly beat expectations, and on and on. And again, no one will really go back and say, well, gee, you know, about a year ago, you were projecting 10, 11% growth, and now you're getting half of that. Nor probably will they remind you that last quarter, we had 7.5% earnings growth. And that's a far cry from the, you know, the 4.5 to 6% that we might get this quarter. So things are not really rosy. Things are not perfect, but they are stable. They are growing. Inflation's tame, unemployment's tame, or at least all the ways they're reporting it, it is. So remember, on Wall Street, perception is reality. Or maybe we should say propaganda is reality, but I digress. Well, let me give you a high level of what I think is going on with these earnings, what we're seeing from some of the more important companies, or at least from some of the ones that are more blue chip and that you'd recognize. First off, things are definitely cooling off in some of the real hot markets like the biotechs and the technology stocks. And I'll pull just one example out of the pharmaceuticals. And that's a company, and I never know how to pronounce this name because I've heard it pronounced both ways. It's either Gilead or Gilead, depending upon how you pronounce it. They exceeded their earnings. However, their sales were down over 20% on their key hepatitis drug. So that affected their outlook. Now, some people are saying, well, there's a better treatment that's coming online. And so some people held back on using the old treatment. There's also been some added competition. I don't know what's true there. But either way, a 20% or better hit on sales of one of their top shelf drugs is very concerning. I used to play the pharmaceutical stocks quite a bit. I haven't done that. Now, they have done very well over the last 18 months or so. But when you're dealing with something like biotech or pharmaceuticals, these are some high risk stocks. If something goes wrong and they don't get the FDA approval that they thought they'd have, or some other regulatory concern comes up, these stocks will drop like a rock. I've easily seen them drop over 80% in a very short period of time. So you want to be really careful when you play pharmaceuticals or biotechs, and particularly these young, aggressive ones that have very weak earnings or no earnings, you know, where they got a great story about a new cancer treatment or something, but they have no real history of sales. Those are the ones you definitely have to be conscious of and watch closely. Again, I choose to avoid those stocks altogether. Something else that worries me, and in particular worries me with a stock like Gilead or Gilead, however you pronounce it. They've made all their money primarily off of hepatitis drugs and HIV drugs. And that's a good thing, and those are big markets, so that's encouraging. But what worries me is these treatments are extremely expensive. I think I read somewhere that one of their, either the HIV regimens or their hepatitis regimen, again, although highly effective, had a cost of something in the neighborhood of $80,000 or $100,000 a year. Now, where I see the problem in that is that although these drugs are saving people's lives, there are a lot of people in the government, and these are on both sides of the aisle, that are looking at the profits that these companies are making, particularly companies like Gilead, and they're saying, hey, most of these patients Their medicine, their pharmaceuticals, their prescriptions, they're being covered by either a state or a federal government of some sort. And we think that these profits of $80,000 or $100,000 per patient for treatment are out of line. Now, whether or not that's the case and how much of, the money had to go to paying back R&D and regulatory costs and all that, that's not going to get debated here. All I'm saying is that when I hear politicians, and again, both from the right and the left side of the aisle, complaining about those things, it concerns me. It's one of those things where I can just see more regulation coming in saying, well, hey, you didn't build that. The FDA lets you fast track that drug. We authorized it and you need to give back more to the community. You need to make it generic. You need to lower your price or lower your profit margin, or we're just going to nationalize you or whatever. Again, that's just what I fear with these pharmaceuticals and some of these biotech companies. And that's why I choose to, for the most part, avoid them. I'll also remind you that in regards to the pharmaceuticals and biotechs, it was a couple months ago that Janet Yellen, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, she mentioned that she felt that these were one of the asset classes that were in a bubble and were overvalued. So when the Federal Reserve starts, specifically pointing out industries and saying what's valued and what's overvalued, that's also concerning to me. Now, again, we're seeing some tepid growth numbers out of the technology stocks. I'm not going to review all of them, but I just do want to bring up a couple of them. Apple continues to do extremely well. They blew out the sales records when it came to selling the new iPhone 6, and that's a good thing. But the problem that we continue to see with Apple is they're really becoming a one-trick pony. Despite them trying to do things with iPay and different payment systems and maybe linking up with companies like, they recently purchased the Beats headphones, which you can argue they paid way too much for that company. They're supposedly going to be doing some type of a partnership or some kind of a venture with the Chinese company Alibaba. My personal opinion is something like that soils the brand, but who knows what they're thinking. They've had difficulty in some ways penetrating the Chinese market, mostly because of probably pressure from the Chinese government. So I don't know what they're thinking with it with Alibaba, but I think that deal helps Alibaba more and brings them more credibility than it does to Google, or excuse me, more than it does to Apple. And, we see either flat or decreasing sales in Apple's other key products, things like the Mac, iPads, iPods. Believe it or not, there still are some iPods out there. The danger with a mature technology company is that, people are always going to ask, well, what have you done for me lately? And Apple's in that classic situation. Once Steve Jobs died, there were a lot of people that discounted the stock, and those people were obviously wrong. Since Jobs' death, the stock's done extremely well. Now, this is obviously, too, with the help of more of the balance sheet engineering, stock buybacks, reverse splits. But it has done well. It's trading at or near all-time highs. But the thing you want to remember is, for a company that has such superior brands and superior loyalty and continues to deliver, their valuation is really what you consider a fair to low valuation. Their PE is somewhere, I think, only of around 16, and that's up from where it was at. Earlier in the year, particularly after Jobs died, I think it was around 13, and then it's been creeping up since then. As I say, now it's around 16. But when you compare that to a Google or an Amazon or a Facebook or some of these other high technology companies, which I would say arguably are nowhere near as quality and solid of a company as Apple, Apple's just trading at a much more discounted valuation. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if the smart guys on Wall Street have just built that discount in the price and they're really expecting on, eventually these iPhone sales to fall apart and then that having a major impact on the earnings of the company. The similar fate of things that we've seen at other high tech companies that have come before Apple, IBM, HP, Microsoft, all those guys, they all hit a growth ceiling and then they decline rapidly. So while Apple is still growing, I think there's definitely concern. And as all things in technology, you want to proceed with caution there. Now, speaking of some of these other technology or internet companies, Facebook, Twitter, they've all announced earnings this week. Facebook has beat its expectations. However, investors are concerned. Their overall sales growth is slowing and their cost is rising. Now, the cost is rising for a number of reasons. One is just the cost that it takes to acquire new advertisers. But also they do a lot of frivolous things, as all these companies that get very large do, very large, very arrogant, like Apple's buying Beats for, astronomical amount. Facebook has made some really silly acquisitions that they probably paid way too much for. And these companies, they seem to forget where their revenue comes from. I mean, Facebook, it's called a social media company. They're buying other things. They're trying to get into other stuff. But the bottom line is their revenue comes from advertising. And they're doing a good job at that. They've really, although they're losing, some of the younger people, they've got a good handle on the demographics that have a lot of disposable income. For example, the middle-aged women. They know everything about these ladies, and they're more than happy to sell that data to advertisers. So they're taking a huge share of online advertising revenue and have really stepped up their game in the mobile field. They're giving Google a really good run for their money. But again, it seems like they always forget what their core is. They want to be something different. They want to be something more. They're not really happy, just being an advertiser. And, basically, they're just a glorified, classified ad. And in my opinion, they should just be happy with that and accept it and figure out how to maximize that and forget about all these other goofy schemes that they're involved in. So although they're still making money, they're reporting good earnings, they are coming off their highs. And since they're projecting future revenues to be, short of expectations, when I look today in the aftermarket hours, it looks like they're down over 10%. That could be bad news for Facebook in the short term. We'll have to look at that and see how things shake out by the end of the week. Now, Google's another one here that's taken a beating lately. Again, they want to be a high technology company. They're a search company, but the bottom line is the revenue primarily comes in from advertising. They haven't been minding the store there as well as they should, and that's why they're probably losing market share to the likes of people like Facebook. They spend a lot of money on research of, driverless cars and, all these other kind of things. And while that may, down the road produce profits, you got to watch these guys. You got to be careful that management isn't getting too arrogant and going down paths that they shouldn't be in. Google's really reached the point now where it's kind of like an old stodgy, orphans and widows stock that just pays a dividend. I think I read here recently that Google is now the number one contributor to lobbyists and things in Washington, D.C. and sponsoring politicians. And when you see a big company do that, when you see them go the route of worrying more about being a crony capitalist than being an innovator, then you do see them, they become a Microsoft, they become an IBM. That's exactly what happened with those companies over the years. I can remember back before Microsoft, before they had any lobbyists, and this is in the days when they had to get lobbyists because they kept getting sued for antitrust and things. So they had to, to hire their lobbyists, pay their extortion money, and they needed to do that to stay alive. But, from an investor standpoint, when we see companies doing that, we really need to scratch our heads and evaluate them and say, hey, is this going to be a growth company going forward, or is this just going to be, a blue chip dividend paying company? And while Google may have a whole lot more innovation left in them and a bright future, their interaction with all the politicians and all these governments and the NSA and all this stuff, you just really got to wonder how much time are they spending trying to grow their business versus how much time are they spending just to be a monopolistic crony capitalist. In my opinion, that usually spells trouble for a growth stock. So keep that in mind. Now, along those same lines of another company that thinks they're a social media company, but they're really trying to sell advertising, and that's Twitter. Twitter announced a real slowdown in their advertising sales. I think they're off something like 10% or more. To me, these guys have never really had a good business model. They don't have all the demographic information like a Facebook does. And because I think they're so widely used by people in the media, they get a free pass and their influence gets way over exaggerated, in the press. So a company like Twitter, definitely not on my watch list. One more high tech company that we'll just kind of wrap things up with, and this is high tech internet related type company, that's Amazon. Now, Amazon is one of these ones that has amazed me for decades now, and I probably could have made a lot of money on it over the years. I remember visiting one of their early distribution centers right after the dot-com bubble burst, and I was certain that these guys were going to go out of business. But they've definitely proved me wrong, and they've outlasted me. But their earnings valuations, their earnings ratios, it's been astronomical. And now with these most recent quarters where they're not making any money at all, you can't even really calculate what their earnings are. I mean, when I look at this stock, it's trading for around $300 right now, and that's down significantly from where it was. I mean, personally, if it was me, and again, I'm not giving any advice or recommendations, I'm just saying for my money, I think you'd be hard-pressed to evaluate this stock at $3, not $300. Again, this is a company where they could be making a fortune, right? I mean, they are the Walmart of the internet. They dominate internet sales. It's a low margin business because the volume is so high, it can be an extremely very high profitable business. But they're not running it that way. They want to be involved in drones and sending astronauts to the moon and all kinds of crazy technology. And again, that stuff may all be great for the future, all the science fiction stuff they want to be in. But you need to stick to your knitting. If you're an online retailer and if that's the primary focus of your business and where all your revenue and your profits come from, then the CEO needs to spend time developing that business. If you want to have a separate Skunk Works or something like that, that's fine. But you always have to be conscious of where's the money coming from. And again, in just my humble opinion, I think this stock has a lot farther it could fall. But, I've been wrong for decades now with these guys. I'll probably be wrong in the future. It's just not the kind of stock that's on my watch list. It's too risky for me. Listen, there are 7, 8, 9, 10,000 stocks to invest in. I don't think you have to focus on the ones that have astronomical valuations. I'm running out of time in this episode. I've only talked about some of the high-tech stocks, and I still want to cover and discuss some of the stocks that have lackluster performance so far this quarter, and then I also want to get into a market review. So what I think what I'm going to do is I'll cut this episode short, we'll end it here, and I'll come back in the very next show, and we'll pick up where we left off. So I invite you to join me back for this next episode where we wrap up earnings for the second quarter and discuss those implications for current market conditions. And if in the meantime you have a question, a concern, some comment you'd like to give me, you can do that through the website, wealthsteading.com. I promise to be right back with a new episode. And until then, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.